Well, welcome on this Friendship Sunday. And so I greet you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Amen. Heaven and earth.
I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
You forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as the called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead of my, the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
I am the good shepherd.
I know my own know me. And I lay down my life for the sheep.
O come, let us sing to the Lord.
Let us make a joyful noise unto the rock of our salvation.
Let us come into His presence with thanksgiving.
Let us make a joyful noise to Him with songs of praise.
For the Lord is a great God.
And a great King above all gods.
O come, let us worship and bow down.
Let us kneel
before the Lord our Maker. For He is our God.
And
we are the people of His pasture, the sheep of His hand.
Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, and I lay down my life for the sheep.
Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. Glory be to God on high, and on earth His good will toward men. We praise Thee, we bless Thee. We worship Thee, we glorify Thee, we give thanks to Thee for Thy great glory. Lord God, Heavenly King, God the Father Almighty, O Lord, the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, O Lord God, Lamb of God, Son
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Thank you. Let's pray. Almighty God, merciful Father, Since you have wakened from the dead the shepherd of your sheep, grant us your Holy Spirit, that when we hear the voice of our shepherd, we may know him who calls us each by name and follow wherever he leads, through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated for the reading of the scriptures for the day. First reading is from Acts 2. It says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And Lord added to the number day by day those who were being saved. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Christ has risen from the dead. God the Father has crowned him with glory and honor. He has given him dominion over the works of his hands.
He has put all things under his feet.
And the epistle lesson for today is from 1 Peter 2. This is a gracious thing when, mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if when you sin and you're beaten for it, you endure? But if when you do good and suffer for it, if for it you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Rise. The Holy Gospel is according to St. John, the 10th chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
I'm the Good Shepherd. Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he had brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of a stranger." This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee,
Let's confess our faith together in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated.
What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. What peace we often forfeit, oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer. Thy friends despise, forsake thee. Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there.
Thank you, Mark. Well, Friendship Sunday, I thought that was a nice hymn to sing. What a friend we have in Jesus. As a matter of fact, if we didn't have Him as our friend, having people as our friend wouldn't help us a whole lot. As a matter of fact, without Jesus, most of my friends probably wouldn't like me. Let me say it again. If it weren't for Jesus, most of my friends would not like me because I know what I'm capable of on my own. So it's taken some work on His part over the years to bring me to the place where I'm the kind of person that some people at least like to have as a friend. I was thinking of it this last week about in Ephesians chapter 4, it kind of describes all of us. I know it says, here is it in verse 11, it was He who gave some as apostles, some as apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, but then He says, but it's for the work of the service to equip the church to be the body of Christ. So who is being equipped is all of us together. Pastors need to be encouraged and challenged to become Christ-like as well. But my job as a pastor is to equip you to be the body of Christ and to flourish like that. And so in Jeremiah, I was thinking about this last week, in Jeremiah, right at the beginning, he said to Jeremiah, he says, you know, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. And then he says, and I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Anybody here been appointed as a prophet to the nations? Not me. But I was called as a pastor. And when he says, before you were formed in the womb, I knew you, who does that apply to? All of us. And before you're born, He knew you? All of us. Now, prophet of the nations, that doesn't apply to me, being called as a pastor does, but wherever God has put you. I remember years ago, it used to be a banner, it was pretty popular, Bloom, where you're planted. Well, wherever God has positioned you in life, a guy named Martin Luther 500 years ago said, your vocation, your calling, is the place where God hides Himself in you for the sake of ministering to other people through you. And so he coined the phrase, the priesthood of all believers, meaning if you're a Christian, then you're a mediator. You're a go-between. And I want you to touch anybody and everybody. And so that kind of brings us to Friendship Sunday. And I remember when I was here on Palm Sunday, I was talking about seeing yourselves through God's eyes. I remember asking the question, who are you? And right back here, right away she said, I'm a child of God. I thought, okay, we didn't have to go through a lot of stuff. We are right to the chase, right to who we are. Now, I was thinking about that, though, and we have how many of you are aware we have a different language in church? How many times this last week did you hear the word sin? Anybody? We have words like sin, redemption, Savior, Redeemer. What are some of the other words that are Sunday morning words that we hardly ever use during the week? Sanctified, yes. You can go down a whole list of names, but I read an article just this last week, and it pointed something out I never really thought about. And it said, you know, the word friendship is a pretty secular word. I mean, we use that all the time, right? But of all the words we use for church on Sunday morning, I don't remember the last time you'll have Friendship Sunday, but I mean, in terms of just talking with one another, how many times do we use the word friend about who we are as a gathered people? And I thought that was kind of interesting. The word for love, by the way, in Greek is phileo. The word for friend is philos, which means one who's loved or one who loves. And as I was looking at that, I thought, you know, in John 15, let me read you here verses 13 through 17. Get over here in the light so I can see this. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Now that sounds kind of extreme, right? But back in Jesus' day, they spoke Greek. Well, a long time before Jesus even, the Greek speakers, Aristotle, Plato, Socrates, some of those people, they had two things that defined a friend. One was, you just speak frankly and honestly. You're a truth teller. Now, it doesn't mean, you know, you stink. It doesn't mean being unkind. It means being honest in what you say, which means you share all. You share your whole heart. That was one thing. The other thing was, you die for a friend. You die for him. One time, you know, Jesus said, well, you wouldn't likely die for an evil man, but for a friend you might die. Well, that was understood. In that day, friendship had those two things. One, you just speak honestly, transparently with somebody. You share your whole heart. And number two, yeah, you're willing to die for somebody. And I thought, I don't know, man, last time I heard or even myself preached a sermon on being willing to die for somebody else. I thought, you know, in our culture, we're so into self that I can't remember the last time I actually thought about whether or not I would or could die for somebody that I loved. I've never been confronted with that. I mean, for the occasion to do that. And I know people who have gone into war. We talk about them being willing to lay down their lives, but that's still a little bit different than if Steve and I are together somewhere and there's only one bullet in this man's gun, who's going to take it? Would I do that? In a very practical sense, would I do that? And without being disrespectful, I think I would include husbands and wives in that. How many husbands or how many wives would die for the other person? And as I was thinking through this, I thought, you know, if it had not been for the incarnation, if God had not become a man, if Jesus, the Son of God for eternity, had not become a man, a child in Mary's womb, if that had not happened, we would have no friendship with God. And had we had no friendship with God, we wouldn't have any leg to stand on today to talk about the kind of friendship that God actually calls us to. With one another. In John chapter 10, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He lays down his life for the sheep. And then he says, the Father loves me. The reason the Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes my life from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down. I have authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. And then later on in John, Jesus says, you know, if you obey my commandments, you are my friends. It's okay, and that's kind of conditional. If you obey my commandments, so it means if I'm not always obeying his commandments, am I not his friend then? But then he continues, says, but I have called you friends. Now that laying down my, obeying his commandment, laying down my life, that still follows. That's in the future of present and the future yet. But Jesus past tense says, I have called you friends. Turn to somebody and say, he's called you a friend. Now don't make him a liar. He said, he has called us his friends. Now, I wasn't born that way. You weren't either. We were all born sons of Adam. And by the old man, we were not friends of God. In fact, the scripture says we were blind, we were dead, and we were enemies of God. That's who we were by birth. God had to do some change that. And what he did started with the incarnation. He came into the world in order to save us. Now, it says he chose death. That's in John 15 again. Remember when they were in the garden? They were at the meal, and they go out to the garden, they're there. And then she says, okay, time to go. And they got up, and he went and met the crowd coming out to take him captive. Remember? That's what a shepherd would do. He'd take the enemy on head first. And so when Jesus is talking about the kind of friend he understood in his time that friend meant, You speak truthfully. And he always did that, even to the Pharisees. And that he would lay down his life. I remember hearing this story some years ago, a man from the land of Idi Amin, those of you old enough to remember that, came to America. His name was Jackson Sinyonga. And it says he got off the plane and observed America a little bit, and he says, "This is a land of ease and convenience." In fact, he said, "America is in bondage to ease and convenience." I thought, yeah, it hasn't gotten any better. In fact, we kind of shake when the things that give us ease and convenience are a little bit at risk. Some people say, well, that's kind of a hard command. Love one another as I've loved you. Jesus says that to us. But if God commanded it, he's not unkind. If he commanded it, then he's made it possible for us to do that. Let me say it again. If God commands something, he's not going to leave us without the grace and the power to do what he told us to do. So when Jesus commands it of us, it's because it's possible. Now, how many remember the WWJD bracelets? It stood for, and I've forgotten the guy's name wrote the book, but it was about a whole community that was transformed by answering this question. What would Jesus do? WWJD. What would Jesus do? And in a sense, that's the wrong question. The question isn't for Steve, what would Jesus do? The question is, because Jesus did for Steve what he did, what's Steve going to do? What am I going to do? What are you going to do? That's the right question. And I'm not disregarding the great encouragement that came with those braces, but he already did what he needed to do, and now he says, I want you to do what I have done that is in you. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old's passed away. The new has come. His love has been poured out into our hearts. I was thinking about that from Romans 5 this last week. Paul says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into the grace in which we now stand. And so we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance proving character hope, and hope does not disappoint us because his love is poured into our hearts by his Spirit. That's the formula. Well, he says when you receive Jesus, he comes, he himself, the incarnate God comes and he brings his love with him, so to speak. And he moves into our lives, and so on a continual basis, he said, he is pouring his love into our hearts. Remember the series of words? Tribulation, perseverance, proven character, hope. Sometimes through the greatest difficulties, and we're surrounded by those, that's the training ground where God says he's coming and bringing his love with him. In John 13, verse 1, it says, he loves his own to the very end. And the Greek word for end is telos. Well, there's another word that's from that word, tetelestai. It's used one time in the Bible. It's in towards the end of the Gospels. And it's where Jesus said, it's finished. It's all done. Everything. It's all done. It's all finished. And that's the word tetelestai, which means not just end, but fullness, wholeness, complete, everything. It's all done. And so when he says he loved them to the end, it meant he loved them until everything was done. Everything that we need was accomplished when he died. So I thought about this past week about how God does what he does for us. And in John 21, John 20 is where he has the resurrection appearances to the disciples. First time Thomas wasn't there, and the next time Thomas was there. And then John 21 just right after. It says, afterwards Jesus appeared to his disciples. This was now the third time he'd appeared to him after he was resurrected. And it says, and it happened like this. It says, the disciples were together, Peter called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana, the sons of Zebedee and two other disciples were together, and Peter says, I'm going to go fish. The other said, we're going with you. Now, wait a minute. These people had lived with Jesus for 3 years. They saw him die. They saw him alive again, most of them twice, and they say, what am I going to do now? I think I'll go fishing. That's what it says, right? And so the other says, we'll go with you. So they went out and they got in the boats. They fished all night and they caught nothing. And then Jesus appears to them on the shore, but they didn't recognize it was Jesus. And he calls out to him and says, friends, you haven't any fish? And they hold it back. No. He says, well, throw it on the right side. You'll find some. They threw the net over there and they got this net full of fish. They couldn't get into the boat. Well, it says that the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it's the Lord. And as soon as Peter heard him say, it's the Lord, he grabbed his garment because he'd taken it off to go fishing, wrapped it on himself and jumped in the water and swam to shore. And the other ones came towing the net full of fish behind. They were only about 100 yards out, it says. And when they got there, they saw a coal of fire there and with some fish on it and some bread. And Jesus says, bring some of the fish you've caught. So Peter runs, jumps back in the water and goes out there and jumps in the boat and pulls the net in. It says there were 153 large fish, but the nets weren't broken. I remember years ago thinking about 153. What, you know, the only thing I've ever read that made sense to me, and I just kind of kept it up here, is that they believed at the time there were 17 known nations. You had 1 plus 2 plus 3 plus 4 plus 5 plus 17, you get 153. And none of the nets were broken, which means Jesus' desire to... Where did this thing start, by the way? Jesus meeting the disciples, remember? Can I get in your boat and preach because they're kind of crowded too close to shore? Well, go out. Oh, Master, there's no fish out there. We've been fishing all night. There's no fish. He said, well, okay, we'll do it. And then the fish... You know, they had to call another boat because there were more fish than they could get in the boat. And here, he does it again. 153 large fish. And then it says that he said, come and have some breakfast. And none of the disciples dared ask him who they are because they knew it was the Lord. Took some of the bread, gave it to them, and gave it to some of the disciples as well. It says, then when they had finished eating, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? And I don't usually talk much about Greek words because I think it kind of tells people, unless you know Greek, you don't really know what it means. But there's a case here which I think is helpful. When he says, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He uses the word agape, which means, I don't care who you are, I'm just going to love you because that's what I do. That's that kind of love. Okay? But Peter's response was, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. He used the word phileo, which is the friendship kind of love. You know all things. You know that I love you like a friend. Now, friend implies being honest and being willing to lay down your life. So give Peter a break. But then Jesus says, okay, feed my lambs. And then he says, ask me him, well, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter says, Lord, you know, phileo, I love you like a friend. And it says then the third time Jesus says, Peter, do you love me like a friend? And it said it grieved Peter the third time he asked him, do you even love me like a friend? He says, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you like a friend. And so Jesus says, feed my sheep. And it says, when he had said that, he said, follow me to Peter. And Peter turned and saw the disciple that Jesus loved. This is one that leaned back against Jesus' breast and said, who's going to betray you at the supper meal? When he saw him, Peter says, well, what about him? And Jesus said, well, if I want him to remain alive until I come again, what's that to you? you follow me. And as a result of that, it says that a rumor spread among the believers that this disciple wasn't going to die. But he didn't say, John says this, he said he didn't say that that disciple wouldn't die. He simply said, if I want him to remain alive until I come, what is that to you? You follow me. Now, Jesus said, Peter, when you were a young man, you dressed yourself and you went where you wanted. But a time's going to come where you're going to stretch out your hands and somebody else is going to dress you and take you where you don't want to go. And this he said about the kind of death by which Peter would glorify the Lord. And so when he saw John, he says, well, what about him? Jesus says, you know, whatever I have in mind for him, that's my choice, but your choice is to follow me. I want to ask you a question. Who did Jesus act as friend toward, Peter or John? That's a trick question. He loved them both. Remember Jesus calling Judas friend? He did. Jesus loved Judas and all the disciples exactly the same. And he loves all of us the same. He didn't make any distinction. He didn't love somebody. Now, he did love Peter towards martyrdom. He loved John towards the Gospel of John, the three epistles of John, and the book of Revelation. He kept him alive and gave him incredible revelation. It's been, you know, stirred the heart of the church for 20 centuries. But God loves every man in his own path. But he leaves us the word, follow me. We all follow the same Jesus. We all follow the same Lord. And when we follow him, there's no distinction between us, and so we can count each other as friends as well, because he says, I've called you friends. You're my friends. And I thought how good it would be, not just on Friendship Sunday here, but how good it would be to practice being friends the way Jesus understood it, and that is to speak honestly with people. Honestly. Lovingly honest. Not critically honest. That's not really speaking well. But the willingness to lay down your life then also. And I don't know who that may be in your life, but there are some people in... Oops, I think I just lost my microphone on the floor. Excuse me, friends, I need to stick it back in my pocket. So on Friendship Sunday, we'll gather together and we'll leave the churchy words behind here and we'll go over there and have some food, some hamburgers and fun and games. But I want to encourage you. I have, over my lifetime, tried to make the distance between the pew and me a lot less. And I think sometimes we need to make our Sunday morning a lot closer to Monday through Friday. That we'll be willing to live with each other and people we don't even know, or people that we don't even like, in a way that says, you know, I'm going to be lovingly honest with you, and I'm willing to go to whatever cost it is to see that you have life. And so today's Friendship Sunday, I suppose most of us are pretty much friends with each other, either historic friends or we've been here a while. But as we leave here, you're going to meet people that can intensely annoy you. And I'm going to challenge, I'm not talking about husbands and wives, that probably. I'm going to challenge you to say, you know, God crossed the universe to find me. He did. Crossed the universe to find me. He loved me that much. So Lord Jesus, if you're pouring your love in my heart, would you help me to be honest with you about my need for you to help me love this person because I'm sure falling short? And that's being honest. How many of you have, no, don't hold your hands up. I started saying, how many of you have people that are hard to love in your life? Yes. Well, guess what? You probably know this verse by heart, Romans 8:28. God causes all things, you can include all people, all things to come together for good. To those who love him, who are called according to his purposes, for whom he foreknew, he predestined to become conformed to the image of Christ. That's what God's working. He's working in me that when I can get over being me and start being him, then he can build his character in me. And then, as I say, you never meet a stranger, never meet somebody who can't be a friend, because you have within you to do that. So if you're in Christ and Christ's in you, I read recently that 30 times in Ephesians, one little book, in Christ or Christ in you is mentioned. What a powerful thing God has done, that he would put the life of his Son inside the hearts of human beings. That's the kind of love he wants us to draw on, not our own. We'll wear out. We'll run out of love. But his love, never ending. So, let's practice being friends this week with people that it's going to take the love of God and grace and mercy of God in us to love them. Can we do that? Let's pray. Father, some of us, I'm sure, have already had come to mind this morning, people who are really difficult to love. Probably not as difficult, if we knew everything, as what it was for you to love us. So I ask that you'd show us as you have loved us. As you said, Lord Jesus, as the Father sent me, I send you. We thank you, Father, that you sent your Son, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you came with the love of the Father, which you have poured upon us without limit. We ask, Lord, that we would go this week and experience you pouring that love into our hearts. And we pray it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all our human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. And there's an amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For steadfast faith to hear the voice of the Good Shepherd, that passing through the valley of the shadow of death, we might receive our portion in his abundant life. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the work of the Holy Spirit by the means of grace, that daily the number of believers who are being saved may increase and God's people may proclaim his truth with boldness, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For artists, musicians, and writers, that our gracious Heavenly Father would inspire them in their creativity to glorify the Good Shepherd's truth, that he would direct our hearts and minds to that which is beautiful, noble, pleasing in his sight. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who would govern the people of the church, that they would be held accountable and honor the purpose of the Good Shepherd as they protect his people and serve the cause of justice and liberty, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who suffer in body or mind, for the unemployed, for the grieving, and for those near death, and for those on the prayer list here, Jeff and Jerry Schofner, for Anna Mae, thank you, Lord, for her here this morning, Pastor Scott and Judy Stallings, Robert Galabrias, and Alfred Durson, Sandra and I think his wife, Sandra Avila, Dean Salberli, Barbara Hanley, Scott Papka, Bob Dietert, Don and Donna Tolner, and Lars Lengrid, that the wounds of the shepherd would give them healing, and his voice give certainty in every sorrow. Let us pray to the Lord. For the new unity in the one true faith, as God's people devote themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of the bread and to the prayers, let us pray to the Lord. For all baptized Christians, that we, whose sins have been crucified in Christ's body on the tree, would bring forth the fruit of holy lives by His continual grace, let us pray to the Lord. Hear us, Heavenly Father, for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord reveal his face to you and give you his peace.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I am found. Was blind, but now I see. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My Savior God has ransomed me. Like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. Was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fear relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My Savior God has ransomed me. Like a flood, His mercy reigns. Abound in love, amazing grace. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less day to sing God's praise than when we first begun. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My Savior God has ransomed me. Like a flood, His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace.